The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of The Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey friends, thanks for being with me today on the program. It's my great honor to be talking to a guy named David Wheaton. David is going to be coming on the air with us this coming Saturday in Orlando. His program, The Christian Worldview, is already playing on our stations in Ocala and Gainesville, and have been since about 2015, but this coming Saturday, it debuts on WIWA Orlando. David Wheaton, welcome to my program.
Mike, it's really good to be with you today. Thank you for having me on.
Well, it's been about 5 years now since you and I talked the first time, and that was before you came on the air up in Gainesville for Mark Radio, same group that owns us down in Orlando, and that's where I'm based now. And back then, I found out a little bit about you from our mutual friend. I think you know Gary Meeks, right?
I do very well.
Gary is a great guy, and he was telling me all about this fantastic former pro tennis player who now has a great career in radio. And I was all excited, and I made a phone call at one point expecting to talk to somebody in your office, and boom, I get a phone call from you. I never dreamed that you'd be answering your own inquiries. And in fact, as I recall, you picked up the phone, and that made quite an impression on me. And I thought, well, this is a guy who is down to earth and obviously loves the Lord. And, tell us a little bit about yourself, David.
Yeah, well, I live in Minnesota, first of all. I was born and raised here in the West Metro of the Twin Cities. And I'm the youngest of four kids, and I grew up in a really wonderful home. I'm just so thankful for that. My parents are still living there in their late 80s today. I have two older brothers and an older sister, and we came from an athletic family, and I played a number of sports, hockey being one of them, of course, here in the Great White North, but also tennis. And my grandfather had introduced our family to tennis. He had just learned it on his own and taught it to my mother and my older siblings. And I came along. I came along quite a bit after my older siblings. And they taught me, or my mom really taught me the game when I was about 4 or 5 years old, tossed me my first balls. And that became a big part of my life. And began to play lots of sports and athletics and so forth. But tennis was the main one. And just to make a long story short, pursued national tournaments as a junior, went to college and played college tennis, and then turned professional when I was 19 and played for 13 years on the professional tennis tour into my early 30s, at which point God had a different career path for me in Christian radio. But just to give you some spiritual background as well, too, I grew up in a Christian family, but I think as happens too often, I didn't take it for my own. It was more my family's faith and was following on their coattails and didn't personalize it for myself. I understood and believed in God and, of course, would have said I was a Christian, but my life was not representative of one who was the follower of Christ as I got in my late teens and early 20s, begin to go down many wrong roads in life. And even though I was on the professional tennis tour and doing very well from a career standpoint, inwardly I was very conflicted because of the way I was raised, because of my exposure to Christianity. I knew I was not living in a way that was honoring to God. And it was actually through a moment in my tennis career at a high point. I won a big tournament over in Munich called the Grand Slam Cup that after winning, I just felt a complete emptiness, lack of fulfillment. Those are the things I was chasing after: winning titles, becoming well-known, and making money and so forth, the typical worldly pursuits that aren't bad as long as they're in the right priority of God first and everything else after that. And I came to start reading the Bible for the first time in my life when I was about 23, 24 years old, and began to understand who God was, that he created me to be a worshiper of him. And who I was, that I was sinning and separated from God, and that I would face his judgment if I wasn't reconciled to him, and understood the gospel, who Christ was, that he came to be the mediator between me and God, that the conflict I had created with him. And when I was 24, Mike, I repented of my sin and put my faith in Christ, who he is and what he did for me on the cross. And my life changed immediately after that. And, you know, obviously I didn't become some perfect person, but a whole new direction in my life went forward as I think Christ truly became my Savior and my Lord, most importantly, at that particular time. That was life-changing. That was 27 years ago. I'm now in my early 50s and still involved in Christian radio and married and have a 7-year-old son. So God has been very good.
He has been great to you. And that is a story, isn't it, that is so often heard about a guy like yourself who seemingly had the world by the tail and was running with success. And here you're on the tennis tour and traveling all over the place and winning. And with all of that coming up, feeling empty. And when you were at that point, was there that sense that this has got to be better than this, or has got to be something more than this? Or was it an instantaneous realization that it was God that you were missing?
Well, I think God was working in my heart for a long time. You know, I was doing very well in tennis. I was number 12 in the world at that time. I just reached the semifinals of Wimbledon and I qualified for this tournament. So I was really on a high in my life. I was achieving things that I had dreamed of as a young person. And so, but in the back of my mind, though, again, it's like it's the verse from Isaiah 55:11 that God's word does not return void. It accomplishes what he wills. And that word that had been built into me by my parents was convicting, was a conscience to me. Mm-hmm. And thank God for that, because it really kept me from keeping on going the wrong way. And when I began to read the word for the first time, I began to really understand more the purpose of my life was not just to win tennis tournaments and to make money. The purpose of my life was to be in a right relationship with God and be an ambassador for him in whatever I do in life. And so that was really paradigm shifting in my mind. And of course, coming to true saving faith and not just being a professing Christian, not just saying I'm a Christian, but actually possessing genuine saving faith, committing to follow him, committing to put my faith in Christ alone, not anything, any good works of my own. There was a conversion. I think I was born again, as the Bible, Jesus talked about in John 3. Now, my mom sometimes disputes that. She thinks I was saved when I was younger and I was five and I was just going the wrong direction, backsliding. But maybe, I don't know. But I know that a big change took place in my life when I was 24, where I truly started to follow Christ as Savior and Lord.
And that's really what matters the most. And, you know, I know that God's hand is on us, but I tell you, I can think back to those moments as well. And I was just sharing a few of these things with my wife recently about a moment where everything just gelled in my mind. And it was when a friend came back and he had been so radically touched by God and had given his heart to the Lord. And you know, we had attended church before. And I think it is so common where young people attend church and because they're going to church, they equate that to being a believer. But we all know that there's a difference in just attending a service, being in a church, and actually being a believer and having your heart affected and touched by God is what it was. And I'm so glad that happened to you, David. And, you know, it seems that that was indeed a life-changing pathway that you took from that moment on. And all these years, you found him to be faithful.
Absolutely. I mean, I just now in my early 50s, I look back at my life and really shudder to think where I would be now. If God hadn't reached down and, like as he's often called, the hound of heaven, hadn't been that conscience and been convicting me that your life is never going to be right. You're never going to be fulfilled. You're never going to be satisfied. All these things are going to be temporal until you're right with me. And that's the truth. We never have true peace in life until we have peace with God. And so that was just, you know, the verse that says, you know, what shall a profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? And the answer is there's nothing. There's nothing more important than entering into a right relationship with God through the provision he's provided through his son, what his son, who his son is and what he did for us on that cross. So that was, you know, the most important turning point of my life. And I'm just always grateful for that. There's a road of sanctification now. It's an up and down road, but God has been faithful all these years to keep me on that road.
That's a wonderful story, a great testimony. Grateful to God for all that he's done in your life. And what a thrill it must have been as an athlete to see some of those goals that you started off with when you were playing tennis, although I had to chuckle a little bit inwardly when I was realizing that a guy from Minnesota is playing tennis. Now, I'm down in Orlando right now. This is the land of nice tennis weather, and there had to be times when you were banging that ball up there in Minnesota when it was a little chilly.
Yes, we there is a big tennis community in here in the Twin Cities in Minnesota. I grew up here, of course, and there's lots of an extensive indoor tennis club network here. And I was the youngest of four kids, so I had those opportunities having older siblings. I had people who invested a lot into me. So people often ask me that question, how'd you ever develop from Minnesota? It's kind of like the Jamaican bobsled team question in reverse, right?
Right.
And I actually didn't finish my development here, though. I actually came down to your state, Florida, when I was 15 years old. Halfway through my sophomore year of high school, I spent the last 2.5 years of high school over at the Nick Bollettieri Tennis Academy, which is over in Bradenton.
Mm-hmm.
And that was before it was called the IMG Sports Academy, which it is today.
Right.
And that was a very important transition in my tennis development, coming down there to the better weather, better courts, better competition, more coaching, all that kind of thing. That really took me from, I was a good player, a fairly highly ranked national player at that point, but coming down there and competing and rubbing up against peers like Andre Agassi and Jim Courier and others, that just took my development to a different level. So Florida is part of my story as well, and had many great memories and good years down in Florida for 2 or 3 years.
Are you still playing any tennis today at all?
You know, I play very rarely now, and there's a couple reasons for that. One is just time. You know, doing the Christian Rule of Your radio program, that whole ministry and speaking and writing, I've been involved in writing a couple books and a little other business on the sides and so forth. So there are some things from a time standpoint that is difficult for me to get out and play tennis still, and or golf or any of that kind of thing. I kind of would like to have a little more time. But secondly, just from playing so much over the years, physically, I don't miss it. I hurt when I play tennis, just because I have so many miles on my body. So I go out and play a little bit. The next day, I really feel it. So I try to do more things that are low impact now, just, you know, walking the dogs and just hiking and doing things like that that quite maybe aren't as hard on the joints. But I am very, very grateful to God for having me involved in tennis. It really, he used that, I think, ultimately to bring me to himself. The stresses, the perseverance, the things that it took to be a professional tennis player, those things were used in my life by God to bring me to himself. And also, even beyond that, just the experiences of being on the professional tour and traveling all over the world, competing at tournaments in Europe and Asia and North America, everywhere, really, was something that has shaped me as a person and given me a perspective beyond if I had just stayed in my hometown.
No doubt. And it opened the door for a lot of traveling. And as you said, gives you those experiences. And now when you're talking about things or talking to people from different areas in the world, you have a little bit more of a geographic sense about it all because you've been there in their country often and seen those sites. So grateful for the way you've looked at it. And boy, that is great to be a world-class anything. And I'm so glad you had those experiences, but I'm more glad we get to hear what God has done in your heart, because like you said, tennis, any sport, anybody that puts their all in all into anything like that, it's going to end because our bodies, they do get those miles on them and we don't do that forever, but what you're doing right now will last forever. And I'm grateful for that, David. How did you get into radio? How did that start about?
Well, that was a interesting story about the providence of God. So I had known tennis my whole life. I played on the tennis tour for 13 years. I was in my early 30s, and just physically, it was difficult to keep up and keep going. There's a short half life to being a professional athlete. So I came off the tour, and this was at the end of 2001. So the beginning of 2002 rolls around, and the question is, well, now what do I do? I didn't really want to go back on and be a coach on the tour and be traveling all over the world. I'm a homebody. I'm a Minnesota boy, and I enjoy being around family. And I just knew I didn't want to be on the road for 30 or 40 weeks a year again. And so I stayed home and began to get involved in looking into a new career. And I happened to be actually traveling up to the northern part of Minnesota near Lake Superior, where we have a family cabin. And on the drive home from that, I was single at the time. I was with my parents on that particular trip. And my mother said to me from the front seat of the car, she said, "You know, David, have you ever considered getting involved in Christian radio?" Just out of the blue. And the reason she said that was, is that my grandmother, which was my mom's mother, was the first one in our family to become a follower of Christ. And she became a follower of Christ through listening to Christian radio in her kitchen. She heard a pastor preaching on the radio, preach the gospel. And she had grown up Roman Catholic, but didn't understand that the gospel was by grace through faith, not by works. And she heard that gospel being preached, and she got down on her knees in her kitchen in 1955 and put her faith in Christ. And as a result of that, my mom saw the big difference. My mom came to saving faith. And then after that, so did my dad. And then growing up in our home, Christian radio was a big part of our family, whether it was teaching programs or music. It was just on constantly in the background. Mm-hmm. And I think my mom realized that the impact that Christian radio had had on our family, and that would be a really worthwhile endeavor to get into. And so shortly after that, I was doing an interview on a Christian radio station in Minneapolis on a sports program. This is about 6 weeks after my mom had suggested getting involved in Christian radio to me. And the host called me after the program and said he wanted to go on to a different career. And how would I like to take over his radio program? I mean, it's pretty amazing. You really couldn't make that up. It's God's providence. It's his sovereignty for us. And he just opened up a door. And that was back in 2002. I started out doing a sports program, which was a great transition for me, having been in the sports world. And then after that, in 2004, the program turned more into the format of what it is today, which is the Christian Worldview, where we focus on, you know, all the things that Christians encounter, whether in the world of news or culture or our faith or apologetics or you name it. We cover a wide variety of topics on the program, and all with the goal of getting to what the Bible says. How should we think biblically about this and then live accordingly?
Mm-hmm. I love that phrase, and you use that not only on your radio program, but on your website as well, because it is important to think biblically and to respond and live accordingly. And a lot of times that second part is not necessarily a part of everyone's experience. You know, we think at times, I grew up with a lot of times people who would believe things deeply would preach it. But when it came to the living it out part, that part wasn't quite as solid. And we all know, and we've all seen, that if that second part's not happening, the first part doesn't have much impact in their life either. And that's a good expression. I really like that, what you're doing. So you were just kind of like snatched right into a new career and had that bit of a buffer, if you will, working for the sports radio for those years. And then that process of thinking biblically, but doing this from a standpoint of tackling subjects, how soon did you start interviewing people for that radio program that became the Christian Worldview?
Right. So the first program was called Beyond Sports, and it was a Christian sports show. So we'd interview athletes about how their faith impacted the way they pursued their sport and so forth. And so that was a very natural transition for me at that time. So I did that for 2 years. And then Salem Radio Network, it was on a Salem station here in the Twin Cities. And there was a producer and host conference where they got together their producer and hosts from around the country and sent them to Washington to hear about some of the issues of the day going on. There's a lot of cultural change back then. That was when same-sex marriage was starting to become more advocated for, and all the other issues and political issues and cultural issues and lots of different things going on. And I remember going there and kind of sitting there like just in the back of the room. And this was with the not sports hosts now, the regular hosts for Salem and so forth, even some of the national hosts, and just hearing from different people about these issues that were taking place in our society. And it really started something. It lit something in me that I think was already there. Again, our family had not only been, my parents not only encouraged us to be committed followers of Christ, but also pay attention to what's going on in the news, what's going on in the world. It's mm-hmm. not, you know, being a Christian is not to isolate yourself and live in a bubble. It's you're saved to grow yourself and then share that and influence others with that so they can have the same hope that you do. We don't just take for ourselves and not give it away, but we want to learn and grow and then share it with others. And so I think that started something in me that was already there that had been taught to me over the years. So when I came back home from that conference, I really started to want to go beyond sports into other topics. And we still occasionally discuss sports issues on the Christian Worldview when they come up. But there's a lot of things that we as Christians are being bombarded with every day, things in the news, things within our relationships, our families. There's just, you know, life is complex. But the good news is that the Bible, God's word, speaks to these things. And I think you're right, Mike, that a lot of people, it's easy to profess to be a Christian, but actually understanding how the Bible applies to the various situations we face in life and how to live it out, like you said, is really, really important. You know, it's what James says, you know, faith without works is dead. In other words, if you don't, there's no evidence in your life. It's not being lived out what you profess about being a Christian. Maybe time to question whether you're truly saved. Mm-hmm. If you're living no different than, let's say, the world lives, and thinking no differently than the world lives. So that's what we really try to do on the Christian Worldview. There's a 2-part mission. It's to sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians. And if you look at certain studies on that, one comes to mind, the Barna research study that shows that so few, a very low percentage of professing Christians actually have a biblical worldview on just 7 basic points. I won't go over them all, but just basic things, fundamental tenets of the faith that a very low percentage, like only like 19% of Christians actually have a biblical worldview. So that's one part of our mission, to sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians. But then there's an evangelistic part of our program as well, too. We know that non-Christians are listening, those who haven't put their faith in Christ, and they may be just turning through the dial. They may never darken the door of a church. And so we want to be very intentional about making clear that there is a way, the good news, that there is a way that we can be made right with God through what Jesus Christ did for us. So that's the 2-part mission of the program.
And those are great mission points to have. And, you know, we're living in a time right now, David, where I can't think of a single decade that's ever been any more in trouble or in strife than what we're experiencing right now. And, you know, even as we looked forward to the year 2020, I sure had in my mind that this year would go a lot differently. Had none of us could have ever foreseen some of the events that started not long after the year began, with all of the COVID stuff and all of this that's going on. So we're living in a day right now where if you don't have a biblical worldview, there's probably no greater time in one's life that could be a time of just anxiety and stress than what we're living in right now.
You're absolutely right. And a worldview is nothing else than your collection of beliefs and ideas about the world around you. It's how you think. It's how you understand, interpret the world around you. So that's what world means. And, you know, if we could think just like God, we would understand exactly what's going on in the world and have perspective on it and peace through it. But the good news is he gave us his word as a basis for how we should think and live. So you think with these world-altering events going on, from the coronavirus to now the protests and riots going on across the country, this is a very destabilizing time. I can't imagine not having the perspective of the unchanging word of God in the midst of this and trying to process it and live life and go forward with any kind of hope. But for the believer, we have a great hope. We know that God is completely sovereign over everything that's taking place. He's not surprised by any of this. We live in a fallen world. This is the explanation for why there are deadly viruses and why there's looting and violence and unrest because of the sin nature of man. We know this is going to take place in our fallen world ever since the very beginning when Adam and Eve fell. But this is the point of the whole Bible, is that Jesus Christ came to offer us peace with God and peace within ourselves. And God is going to restore all things someday in the future. We don't know when that's going to be, but Jesus Christ is going to return and God is going to restore all things. And in the meantime, Christians are called to be ambassadors, representatives of him in proclaiming this good news of the gospel and the good news of peace with God in the meantime.
That's well said. When you are talking to somebody and you're giving them an explanation like you've just given, what are the questions that you find that a lot of people would bring to you that would say, okay, I never really thought of it that way about how the Bible would have such an impact on my thinking. What kind of questions do they follow up with?
Well, I think people naturally in our non-believing state are just skeptical that there even is a God. How can there be so much pain and suffering and conflict and everything going on in the world? Wouldn't a good God want to not allow this or be in control of this? Or is he powerless to stop what's going on? And it's a misunderstanding of really of who God is. God is a good God. He is willing to forgive and have mercy and show grace. But there's also the side of God that offers us free will. Which is a great side of God. We're not robots. He's given us a measure of free will to with a test of faith, whether we're going to believe what he has revealed about himself or not. We can't see God. We can't hold him in our hands. We weren't there when he created the heavens and the earth. But the evidence is all around us that there was a creator, that there is a living God. You look at just the creation itself. You look at the person and work of Christ. You look at the conscience we have. You look at the communication that God gave us in his word. And if you look at it, it's beyond any reasonable doubt that there is a creator, that he is engaged and he's living. He's alive and he speaks to us. And it's a test of faith. Like God tested Abraham, go and sacrifice your son, your only son to me, Isaac. And Abraham believed God. He trusted God. He put his faith in God, that God was able even to raise Isaac from the dead, the Isaac that was supposed to come, all the promises that God had promised to Abraham. And that's the same thing we're called to do today. It is a life of faith. It's not something that you can hold in your hand. That's true. But it's, I believe, the biblical worldview is the most defendable by far of all worldviews out there. And it provides the answers to the biggest questions of life. And so that's what we really try to do in the radio program, is give the answers to those big questions.
Now, you mentioned evangelism, and part of being someone like yourself, we have to give a reason, or some people call it the apologist view. We lost recently Ravi Zacharias. Ever have a chance of meeting him?
Never had a chance to meet Ravi Zacharias, but of course heard his program on the radio many times. And you know, he was answering a lot of the very, very difficult questions that we, like one we just talked about, how can there be so much pain and suffering if there's a good God that controls the world? There are answers to all these questions, satisfactory answers. God has given everything we need to believe in him. And just appreciate people like Ravi Zacharias who've gone deeply into giving explanations and answers to the questions people ask. Ultimately, though, Mike, it's not necessarily about answering questions. I mean, it's important to be able to provide that, but ultimately it comes down to understanding the gospel message itself.
That's right.
Many of those questions go away or are better understood once we have been renewed and once we have God's gift of the Holy Spirit to us. And once we read the word and can understand it because the Spirit is illuminating it to us. So sometimes we often think that we have to convince people of all the arguments and so forth. Really, it's really a matter of the will. I've often found more so than the intellect. It's good to give answers to the intellect, but ultimately it's a matter of bowing or surrendering our wills to who God is and what he's revealed to us, rather than purely having answers to specific apologetic questions.
I love it. This is David Wheaton. We're talking to David from, he is up in Minnesota right now, and he is the director of the Christian Worldview. He speaks on this program every week live Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock. And we're going to be carrying that starting this coming Saturday right here in Orlando on our station on 1270 AM. And also it's being carried in Ocala on our station and also up in Gainesville. And then one other feature, we're going to be actually replaying this, recording it as it is aired live, replaying it on Sundays at 2 o'clock. So we're going to, on all of our stations, be able to have a second chance. If they miss it on the live version, they can hear that version as well. So we're excited about that, David, and that starts this coming weekend. We'll be back with David Wheaton coming up in a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd. Back again one more time with David Wheaton, who I've got a few more minutes with you here on the line today. The program, if you've just tuned in, that David leads, it's called The Christian Worldview, and it airs on our station in Orlando for the first time this coming Saturday morning. And it also, of course, does air already in Gainesville and Ocala on the Shepherd stations up there, with one new twist up there and down here. It will be repeated Sundays at 2 p.m., actually here on all of our stations. So we are very thrilled to have you, David, on our stations. You're offering a perspective that I believe is so important in a time of crisis. Our nation is in crisis right now, and we need people to wake up to the realization that there is a perspective to look at, and the perspective that is guided and principled by the Word of God. That's something that we all need, and we need it desperately right now.
We do. Yeah, I think it's Hebrews 13:5 or 13:8 says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so is his word, and his word doesn't change. And it is the anchor that we can be rooted on, be stabilized on in a world that is very quickly changing right now. These events, as you mentioned, of the coronavirus, its impact on the whole world, it shut down economies and countries, and there's insidious possibilities behind this for a move to a globalistic authoritarian type rule, I believe, using a health crisis like that to capture authority in the world. And that's where the Bible says things are going to go. We read in Revelation that there's going to be a world leader, the Antichrist, and that's where things are going. We don't know when, and we don't know if it's going to be next week or 100 years from now. We just don't know that. But that's where unregenerate man wants to take things. It goes back to the Tower of Babel. Mm-hmm. We're going to make a build. We're going to make a city, and we're going to make a tower that goes to heaven, so that we can have a name for ourselves. That's man's kind of default tendency in his fallen nature, is to get into a globalistic type movement, and that I believe there's an element to that. Let's vaccinate every person in this entire world, and then there's a control over that that can be used for nefarious purposes, not godly purposes. And then you see with these protests and riots that have come up after the killing of George Floyd, which took place right here in our hometown, by the way, in Minneapolis.
Yes.
25-30 minutes from where I'm talking to you right now. And how that our city, there's streets in our city here in Minneapolis that look like a war zone as a result of that. And where is that going? What is that movement about? Why are we trying to defund the police? Why is there charges of systemic racism in this country? Is that really true? If so, what needs to be done to correct that? And that's a topic we're going to be doing the next couple weekends on the Christian Worldview radio program. We're actually having Daryl Harrison and his co-host Virgil Walker on. They host the Just Thinking podcast. They're both Black in America believers. And these guys are very, very good on this subject. So that I'm very much looking forward to that conversation with them over the next couple of weeks. But things are changing in America. There's no question about it. This is an election year as well. And so Christians need to be alert. Jesus said to be aware of the signs of the times. And that's what we're going to be trying to do coming up over the next the coming months on the program.
Well, the gentleman that you just mentioned will be on your show this coming Saturday.
Yes.
Well,
Daryl Harrison and Virgil Walker, and they have an excellent podcast It's called Just Thinking. We're looking forward. He was a speaker at one of our events. The Christian Worldview also holds what we call speaker series events. And he came up to Minneapolis last fall, I believe it was, and was our keynote speaker on social justice, another huge issue that this race issue is part of. But even within the evangelical church today, there's a move toward prioritizing social justice. And of course, Christians should be for justice. But the type of social justice that's being pushed very hard now in the church is not the same kind of justice the Bible advocates for. The Bible advocates for something called impartiality. Don't be partial to everyone. God created everyone equal, treat everyone the same, and we're all one race, the human race. And there may be different ethnicities, maybe different skin colors, but ultimately we are valued of the same value in the eyes of God. That's not exactly what's being pushed in the social justice movement now. It's preferences based on skin color. It's emphasizing those, quote, minority characteristics of people and so forth. And I think it's an insidious move toward social justice leads to the social gospel, where the priority of the church gets away from the Great Commission of discipleship and evangelism and gets onto more worldly, temporal, surface-type issues of race and gender and class and economics and those kinds of things. And pretty soon, when a church or Christianity gets involved in that, the gospel, the primary mission, is quickly lost.
Well, we need the primary heart and soul of the gospel right now more than ever before, because that's the only thing that's going to help us. That's the only thing that can change a heart is the gospel of Jesus.
Let me just jump into that. What you're saying is true, but that's the point. Like, the solution to what's going on in the country right now is not some top-down policies, force people to live a certain way and hire certain people or whatever. I mean, we want an equal country for sure, and policy should represent that. But ultimately, what heals the country, what changes people, what creates peace in this country is when people have the peace that inside of their hearts that understands their relationship with God and the relationship with other people. When there's conversion of the heart, individuals, families, churches, communities, and nations change. So ultimately, the solution to all of this is a spiritual revival. And that goes back to churches and us as individuals just being intentional about preaching the gospel, explaining what the gospel is, how it can make you right with God, and then living it out in our lives as well, so people see that we don't just say one thing and live a different way. But that's ultimately what's going to change this country, unless we can pray that there would be spiritual revival. But that's the only thing that's going to stop the anger and the rage and the conflict and the division and everything going on in our country right now.
And that's why that phrase that you use is so important. We've got to respond accordingly. We've got to know the word of God and then carry it on and be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. David, thanks for being with me on the program today.
Really enjoyed the conversation, Mike. Thank you.
Well, this is what I hope will be the first of many visits. And when you're in Orlando and you do get down to Florida, I'm sure from time to time, hopefully more often, and we'll have to have you come and see our nice studio that we have up here. And looking forward to doing these interviews again face to face, but that's going to come soon enough. God bless you, David Wheaton. We look forward to hearing your debut in Orlando this coming Saturday.
Well, thank you, Mike. We'd love to come down to Florida sometime, particularly in the middle of a Minnesota winter.
That's a good time to come. All right. God bless you, David. Have a great day.
All right. You too, Mike.
So make it a point to listen wherever you are across the Shepherd Radio Network this coming Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton. And again, this is the first time that it's going to be on our Orlando station, 1270. David has a great voice, a great insight. I know you're going to enjoy listening to him. Coming up in a moment here on Afternoons with Mike, we're going to have a clip from my interview with John Nasby. And John has some thoughts about what could be our post-COVID experience and maybe some of the things that we can carry on into the new normal, whatever that's going to look like, with regards to working from home and things like that. That's coming up in just a moment here on Afternoons with Mike on the Shepherd Radio Network. Hey, welcome back to Afternoons with Mike. A couple of things I want to draw your attention to before we get into this next clip. That is the fact that we do have podcasts available now for listening on demand. On our website, you can listen to full episodes of Afternoons with Mike at your convenience. All you have to do is go to theshepherdradio.com and just on the homepage, scroll down, you'll see a blue logo that says Afternoons with Mike, and underneath that is a table of the recent programs. The most recent will be on top, and then you can go down and see the programs that we've already now processed in podcast form. So be sure and listen to that. It will be the show in its entirety, minus all the breaks. So be sure and listen to that, and you can tell your friends about it too. All they have to do is go to theshepherdradio.com and then scroll down on the homepage and you'll see the podcast listed there. John Nasby was recently on my program, and one of the sections that we were not able to use for the show was a discussion about some of the things that we can all expect that are going to be the aftermath of some of the COVID-19 restrictions and quarantines that we've all endured. One of the things that's happened is a lot of companies have had their employees work from home, and that could have a big change for a lot of people going forward, even when companies open back up. So here is that discussion with John Nasby, who himself works in the field from his home, and he works for Douglas Shaw and Associates as a syndication manager. A lot of people are finding just what you've known, this little secret that you've known in your life for a long time, that remote working, even working from an office in your home, is oftentimes very, very successful. And just the amount of resources that can be saved, those resources that can be reallocated, are great. And might even be very helpful to point in other directions in the business. So that's something that might be looked at even by a lot of your clients who in the distribution of programs like Running to Win, that might impact them too. Although I think most of the people that you would represent on air, those are teaching ministries. Would this not be the case? Those ministries are kind of extrapolated from Sunday messages, Sunday sermons. Would that not be the case?
That's correct. That's correct. Yeah. But there are even, you know, we're able to tweak the content. You know, so I think you have to, you know, the intimacy of radio is really the main benefit. You know, you usually catch people by themselves. And so how do we, you know, boy, there's no better time than to be sensitive to how can we even more fully meet the needs of folks, and also get them, challenge them. At the end of the day, I mean, you're not going to be able to call Erwin Lutzer at 3 a.m. and have him answer the phone and have him talk to you. It's going to be that neighbor next door, or that person that you've connected with in at your church home. We really need to, I think, grow up as believers. And, you know, this idea of consumerism, and so often we find that, you know, what's in it for me on Sunday morning? Ooh, I like the music. I like the preaching. Honestly, throughout my faith journey, it's never really been about that. It's been about, you know, how hopefully I'm called to this community, and how can I serve this community? So that's one thing that the two books I mentioned earlier, I think they challenge those who think, okay, you know, I've did my time, mm-hmm. you know, I'm going to hit the pasture. Boy, there's no better time than to really impact and influence the next generation. You know, loving people where they're at. I'm just excited about the possibilities, but we really got to, you know, hopefully change, you know, and be challenged to change.
Well, historically, every big move of God that happened usually was, I guess, maybe
brought earlier, it was brought on and maybe even had an element of problems that kind of pushed the people out. Like when you look at the Bible and you realize, yeah, and you read the early church, the persecution in Jerusalem forced the church outward. And you wonder, would evangelism in the Bible, would it have happened were it not for persecution that scattered the church? So sometimes it is difficulty. Sometimes it is a problem that seems like it's really bad. And then out of that problem, something good forms. And that's what we're praying for. We're praying that out of all of this, that there could be an awakening in people, because these are troubled times unlike any that you and I in our lifetimes, we've just never seen anything that compares to some of the problems and the trials and the sickness and the fear. Oh my goodness, the fear that has gripped the heart of so many people in our entire lifetime, John. When we look back, we've not seen anything like this. And God can use this, and I believe God is going to use this to wake up people and say, you know, you just can't be for sure that everything you thought was going to work out the way you thought it was going to work out, it doesn't work out that way. I don't think any of us saw this one coming in the first part of February.
Yeah.
I had one friend say, you know, COVID-19 just knocked America on its knees in just like 45 days. Mm. Wasn't it maybe even half of that? Maybe just 20 days, 3 weeks. You have basically everything in life as we knew it changed.
Mm. Yes.
And there's one thing that doesn't change in the middle of all of that, and that is the gospel message.
Well, and that's reality. Reality is we're not guaranteed another day. I mean, we're not guaranteed another easy day.
That's for sure.
So what, you know, it's shaking us up to you. We weren't living in reality, maybe. And so get real. You know, every day is precious. The reality is that this is all we got today, and not promised tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we doing today to really reach out, love people around us, that, you know, be his hands and feet, that, you know, we come to the, you know, I love the, you know, beggars, you know, telling other beggars where to find mm-hmm. some crumbs. I mean, we, and I think too, is we really, you know, one thing that I've been grateful for that God always reminds me of is the depth of my depravity. And, you know, we are so quick to, you know, lash out on both sides of the political aisle. And boy, it'd be great that we kind of live differently and not go there. And I don't know. I just I think more and more we if we're in touch with our own depravity, boy, we're a lot more loving, man.
Mm-hmm.
We just are.
You know, and I think that happens with good theology. And that's one of the things that both of us in what we do, you as a worker with syndicated programs such as Dr. Lutzer and others, and we'll, I like to talk a little bit in our next segment about your work with Moving Forward and Stephen Rummage, because there's another great Bible teacher right there. And he's amazing, but he's one of our guys as well. But there's something about good theology. It was said this way at a class I took at RTS, it's Reformed Theological Seminary. What a great place. And they said this, that's right up in your neck of the woods, by the way, right over there in Oviedo now. That's where that campus is. And this was the statement. It was that, but good behavior is brought about by good understanding and good thoughts. And good thoughts are brought about by having good doctrine, good theology. So at the base of even our behavior or the way we think, at the very base of that is the need for good theology. And if we don't have good theology at the very base, it works its way out in our lives in bad behavior. It works it out in wrong thoughts, sinful thoughts, immoral thoughts. All of that is brought about because of the fact that we need theology in our lives. If we don't have what God said, then we don't know what is good. We don't know what is right. We don't know what is true. And that is the way it is. I love good teaching, and that's what our station brings, and I'm grateful for it.
So that is John Nasby. Some thoughts from him on post-COVID, and I hope you enjoyed that. John is local, works for Douglas Shaw and Associates, and he is a syndication manager for a couple of programs that you hear here on The Shepherd, like Moving Forward with Stephen Rummage and also Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, who was on my program yesterday. Okay, one more thing before we leave today, something that we mentioned with David Wheaton was Ravi Zacharias and the fact that Ravi recently went to be with the Lord. A guy who I love to listen to daily is Al Mohler with The Briefing. And this is what Dr. Al Mohler from Louisville at Southern Seminary had to say about Ravi Zacharias.
The New York Times in its print edition on Friday offered an obituary for evangelist Ravi Zacharias that took up a full half page of the print edition. That's remarkable. When you think of Christian leaders, Christian thinkers across the United States, they rarely draw this kind of attention from a newspaper such as the New York Times. It tells us something about the influence of Ravi Zacharias that the New York Times devoted a half page of last Friday's edition to his obituary. Sadly, Ravi Zacharias died 2 weeks ago today, a loss for evangelical Christianity and for the witness of Christianity in the public square. Ravi Zacharias, who was born in India and came to the United States, had a life-transforming experience with Jesus Christ, and he responded to a call to be an evangelist, and yet a different kind of evangelist than many. He was an evangelist who used apologetics and intellectual arguments on behalf of theism and Jesus Christ, the gospel and biblical Christianity, and he did so in the public square. As the obituary writer Stephen Currit said in the New York Times, quote, Mr. Zacharias believed that the way to counter an increasingly secular culture was to make a logical case for theism and to explain why Christianity, above all other religions, is best equipped to answer life's fundamental questions. His ministry's motto, helping the thinker believe, helping the believer think, end quote. I'm glad to say I knew Ravi Zacharias, and as a friend, we were on platforms together. And he was a man of ideas, of distinctively Christian ideas, and he cared deeply about the projection of those ideas to a secular culture. He had a particular heart for young people on college and university campuses, and he was at his best. He came alive when faced with that kind of audience. Given his own biography, Ravi Zacharias was also in a unique position to be able to speak of the distinctions between the worldviews of the East and historic Christianity. He was able to stand at that intersection and to do so in a way that was true of few others.
And that is Dr. Al Mohler. You can always catch his daily program called The Briefing. It's a podcast that can be delivered directly to your inbox by going to albertmohler.com. And again, his podcast is called The Briefing. That about does it for me. I'll be back tomorrow right here on the Shepherd Radio Network on Afternoons with Mike.